The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
The Crossman Conversation is hosted by John Crossman. John's heart is to see our community of leaders unite around what we have in common. John will be joined by political leaders, religious leaders, as well as activists making a difference in our nation. Here is your host for the Crossman Conversation, John Crossman.
Hello, this is John Crossman, and welcome to the Crossman Conversation. As we get started, I got a quick story. Mike, is that okay?
I love John Crossman's quick stories.
So first off, in general, Mike, you know I love historic people, you know. I very much respect military people and people in service. Like, just in general, that's a big deal to me.
It is.
And in all those categories, you know who I think are, like, kind of the coolest, but kind of in a geeky, like, they really impress me way, is judges. If you think about judges, like, their job and, like, the importance of their job and, like, the awesome responsibility. I mean, I'm just, like, a goofy real estate guy that has a radio show. You know, it's no big deal, right? But these judges, you know, they're making important decisions, and there's victims, and there's, you know, police officers, and there's it's all the stuff they do, whether it's civil or criminal. It's just a big, complicated job, right?
It is.
So it's a big deal. So I've always felt that way. You know, we had Judge Belvin Perry on.
Yes,
here,
we did.
Which was a really cool thing. So recently, and you were with me with this, I was speaking at the Christian Chamber of Commerce, and I bumped into a judge, and that always blows me away. And that judge is here today
as our
guest.
Yes.
So we have Judge Gibson here with the Orange County Court of the Ninth Judicial Circuit. So did I get that right, Judge Gibson?
You did. Yes. Thank you.
Your Excellency. I don't know. I don't know the proper terminology, but
no Excellency. just judge.
So thank you for being here. I'm such a fan of judges. I geek out a little bit. So you'll have to forgive me for that.
I love that. Thank you for having me. It's funny because I geek out about lawyers and judges too.
Right.
And I used to joke with my friends, you know, a lot of people, you know, they're just dying to see, you know, Brad Pitt or somebody famous in an airport. That is not how I feel. However, if a Supreme Court justice walked through my airport, I would absolutely lose my mind. So I'm a legal nerd too.
Gotcha. So tell me this, as you were growing up, did you always want to be a judge, always be a lawyer? You walk me through that part.
I did, actually, since I was 12.
Really?
I knew I wanted to be a prosecutor and eventually a judge. In fact, so I graduated from high school here in Orlando. I graduated from the First Academy.
Oh, awesome.
I don't want to tell you what year because I don't really want to date myself, but it was a long time ago. And recently, someone pointed something out, so I went back to look at a yearbook, and I remembered that my senior superlative, I was voted the most likely to succeed, and I took the picture in a black robe.
Come on.
Because I wanted to be a judge.
Wow. Wow.
That's true.
And that's very rare, you know, and especially in today's world, people switch careers 17 times and stuff like whatever it is, and you had that vision. Now, so you went to the First Academy here in Central Florida, great school, and then you went to college where?
So that's also a fun story.
Yay.
I started here at UCF.
Awesome.
Go Knights.
Go
charge
Knights.
On.
Sure.
But during my freshman year of college, my father was in the military and he was stationed in Japan. And he called me one night and said, Elizabeth, I think you should take a year off and come enjoy Japan. You started college young, just take a year off. It won't hurt your career. And I thought, okay, that sounds like fun. So that's what I did. So after my freshman year at UCF, I joined my family in Japan and I started taking college classes there at the University of Maryland just so I could learn a little bit of the language, ride the train, that kind of thing. Well, then I found out that I could graduate in 2.5 years instead of 4 with my bachelor's degree. So for someone who's really ambitious and driven, that was very attractive. So that's what I did. So my undergrad degree is from the University of Maryland, but in Japan.
Okay, hang on. There's a lot to unpack there, Judge. Slow down a second. So first off, your dad, and he has passed away.
Yes.
So I'm so thankful for his service and his life. And you're wearing his dog tags right now.
Yes, sir.
Which
I
is so sweet.
Day.
That is just so cool and honoring of him. So tell me, what branch of the service was he in?
So he was in the Army during Vietnam.
Okay.
Then got out and went back into the Navy as a chaplain. So
wow.
My whole life, he was with the Navy.
Gotcha. And so so he was stationed in Japan. And where in Japan?
Yokosuka, Japan.
I'm not going to try to say that again. So that's
no one
city.
Ever gets it right. Don't worry.
Right. And was the sushi just phenomenal there?
It was so amazing.
This is a 25-minute show. We don't have enough time to talk about uni because it's my favorite. Now, so do you speak some Japanese then?
Hai, asadesu.
You know, I know a little bit. You want to try it? I'm trying it.
Let's try it.
Ohayo gozaimasu.
Ohayo gozaimasu. Yeah. Okay, kideska.
That's all I know.
Oh, that was
you
it.
Know, so, true story, Judge. This is true.
I am now just, my mind is blown. I'm absolutely blown.
So what that means is good morning. And so I, in my high school economics class, back then the 80s, they were convinced Japan was going to take over the world. And they were close because China. And so my teacher opened up every morning with that. So true story, my daughter was singing, Claire, who you've met, was singing at night on Broadway, not Broadway, the Candlelight Service. She was doing the Candlelight Service at Epcot.
Oh, at Epcot.
Yeah. And so I was the chaperone. So when they had a little break there, you know, she was with a friend, so I was by myself. So I went to the Japanese restaurant at Epcot. And so when I walked in, there's all these Japanese service there. And so I looked at them and I said, Ohayo gozaimasu, which made no sense because it was at night, but they got it and they laughed. And so I told them, I'm like, that's all I know. And so I said it like five more times. Like when I was leaving, I went, Ohayo gozaimasu.
So and they all loved it.
They loved it. No, right. it was just a joke because I have no idea what I'm talking about. So you do speak some Japanese. That's very impressive. And so you're a Terrapin somehow.
I am a Terrapin.
Yeah. So you graduated in 2 years with your bachelor's degree.
I did.
In Japan. Totally amazing. Mind blown. I like you more that you talk.
Oh,
so
good.
It's good. So so then you're going to go to law school, right?
Well, first, I went to stay with a Japanese family and I went to a Japanese language school.
Wow.
And I know you said you like judges, but maybe my coolest job isn't actually being a judge. I was a wedding singer in Japan.
Come, no, you were not.
What? I sang in
four this is turning into a surprising episode.
It's a
right
different
here.
Show. It's become something completely different.
A wedding singer.
What?
Yes.
You're a wedding singer.
Well, when I lived there at the time, so this is 20 years ago, the Japanese were enamored with American culture. And
right.
So they would do their traditional Japanese wedding with the kimono and all of that accoutrement. And then the ones who could afford it would pay an exorbitant amount of money to get married in a Western looking chapel. And my vocal coach was one of the ones who did the singing and she suggested I do it. And so I got paid to sing in four languages for a Japanese wedding that looks
that
like
is
American.
Amazing.
And
come on.
I was also the flower girl.
No, oh. Wait. Okay. All right.
I'm going to go get my guitar in a minute. We're going to,
I know.
Yeah.
Mike, this is my show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're the best part of it. So tell me this, when you're what would be a song you would sing?
So Ave Maria.
Wow. So they wouldn't want you to sing Ave Maria.
Right.
And that's like a go-to song.
Absolutely.
You got in your hip pocket.
Right. We had a rotation of songs and I was assigned. I didn't get to choose. They would tell me what I was singing that day. So I had to learn all of the songs. At the moment, the only one I can remember is Ave Maria.
Right. Well, did you ever get asked to like sing like a Free Bird or something like that?
No. No, it's a laid out thing. And then they leave. It was like a 25-minute ceremony.
Yeah. Okay. But that would have been awesome, Mike. It would have been really great.
That would have been hilarious, but no.
No. Okay. All right. Is there still footage of you singing Ave Maria in Japanese?
You know, I don't think there is.
Okay. Well, I bet you there is. It's just be hard to find.
Maybe.
Right.
I'd have to try and see if I could find it. You know,
I mean, they videotaped you at some level.
But 20 years ago, we didn't have cell phones like we do today.
Right, but
so
still.
So everything wasn't recorded and
Judge Gibson,
yeah.
I am going to work on this. This is okay. Going to be my life mission now is to find the secret tapes. Of
I
that.
Love
that.
Okay. In all of his spare time.
All right. So this is the funnest interview I've ever given. Now you go to law school. Now tell me a lot. Where'd you go to law school? Now?
So I went to law school at the University of Florida.
Awesome.
Go Gators.
Yep.
And
I don't say that, but Mike does. We have it's a war. We don't get along. It's okay.
I knew I liked him.
I know. Sure. You should. Mm-hmm. All right. So you went to University of Florida. Great law school.
Fantastic law school.
Okay, good experience there.
Wonderful experience. Learned a lot. Took a lot of classes that I would not have expected to take. So, for instance, I took Tax 101. We called it baby tax because I thought, like, you can't be a lawyer and not know how to file your own taxes, right? Like, that doesn't seem like a good idea. Well, I fell in love with tax law. So then I took a bunch of tax classes. I actually graduated with a certificate in estate planning.
Wow, that's cool.
Which I've never done. But I had a fantastic time learning about it and thought, you know, someday in the future, I might actually do that.
Yeah. Well, that's part of like having a well-rounded educational experience, right?
So, I agree.
You know, we're kind of joking, but all those different things, whether it's, you know, living in another country or going to another different university and speaking different languages and appreciating music, when you're judging, I would imagine all that helps come into a situation and it makes you relatable, right?
Yes.
You want to think that a judge making an important decision has wisdom in addition to academics.
Yes.
And you can only have that through experience. And so those experiences matter.
I absolutely agree.
Yeah. So it gives you a healthy perspective. Okay. So you graduate from UF Law School And then you do what next professionally?
So I happened to meet my congressman, at a dinner one night and started talking to him. And he said, you should come to D.C. and work for me. So I sold everything I owned and moved to D.C. I lived on Capitol Hill for 6 months, worked for my congressman, which I think was, back to what you just said about having a variety of experience, invaluable experience, because I worked for the legislative branch, right? I watched the process of how a law gets written and passed. And let me tell you, it was super eye-opening. So that was an adventure. I did that for 6 months, but I knew I wanted to be a trial attorney. So I came back to actually Ocala and worked for the state attorney's office there for seven and a half years.
Wow, that's awesome. I want to say one quick thing, and then we're going to take a break, and then we're going to talk about judging. I've done a lot of prison ministry work, and so when different people I've known, life happens, get incarcerated, I always try to go see them. And so a friend of mine was a member of U.S. Member of Congress and was in prison. And so I visited them in prison. And while I was there, I met some other women that were incarcerated, and I met a woman that was a doctor that was there, and then I met her daughter. And so the daughter, I kind of talked and became buddies. And she's since followed me, and she's this college student. So she reached out to me, and she was trying to get an internship. And I got her connected with Congresswoman Val Demings. And she got an internship. And I kid you not, maybe like a year ago, she sent me a picture. And she was from her office looking at the U.S. Capitol building. And I try to be sensitive about the story because I want to protect her and her mom. But she's a delightful young lady. But where did we meet? We met in the Coleman Correctional Center.
Wow.
But there are a lot of good things that can come out of those hard places. I'm sure you've been aware of some cool, good stories that can come out of tough stuff. So I think we're going to do right now, if it's okay, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back with Judge Elizabeth Gibson.
Excellent.
It's said that it's not how much money you make, it's how much you keep and use to plan for your future. Nathan Meeks, principal at Meeks Capital, combines leading investment techniques with modern financial planning software to be the resource you turn to for clear, objective, and sound financial advice. For a no-obligation consultation, call Nathan at 407-494-5439 or visit meekscapital.com.
The Crossman Conversation thanks Four River Smokehouse for helping to sponsor our program. From its inception, Four River Smokehouse has not only served delicious food in warm family settings, but they've been key leaders in creating positive social and financial impact in our Central Florida communities, such as their Four Rivers Farm, a healthy, thriving, sustainable food system. For a Four River Smokehouse near you, visit 4rsmokehouse.com.
Here's a call to those who want to make an impact on their company, their community, or who possess a desire to make the world a better place. Crossman Career Builders provides the tools and resources for you or your company to make a difference on some of the toughest issues that we all face. Crossman Career Builders partners with CEOs, politicians, and pastors seeking to address problems of racism, mental health, addiction, justice, and suicide. CrossmanCB.com.
Once again, here is John Crossman.
And we're back with Judge Elizabeth Gibson. And Judge Gibson, a Japanese wedding singer, crime-fighting superwoman, I don't even know, there's so many different things going on in your life. And so we're talking about your career, and I want to kind of just jump in now and really talk about being a judge, okay? And if I can just sort of jump into the heart of it, like, I would think, like, in your world, you've got to listen very, very well. Really take notes, and really you're taking in all this information and then gathering all the information, of course, then running the whole court system, I mean, the whole operation, which is that, and then making a decision and then really feeling at peace about that. Can you just talk us through that? Give us some insight into your head about how that all goes?
Absolutely. So you're right about everything you just said. I take copious notes when I'm in court. I listen as carefully as I can, and sometimes I'll have to ask them to repeat something. So I just had a hearing this morning. I heard the question, but then an attorney made an objection, and I thought, that's not the right objection. But then I said, hold on, could you ask your question again? Because I want to make sure that I'm making the right ruling, because I understand the gravity of my rulings. The people who appear in front of me this could be the most important thing in their life.
Oh, sure.
And I want to make sure that I'm making the right decisions based on all of the information that I have. And that's not to say I'm perfect. I'm wrong a lot. And I tell the people in my courtroom, guys, I don't know everything and I'm not perfect, but you have to give me what I need to make the right decisions. So I do. I listen very carefully. I take, like I said, lots of notes. I want to make sure I have everything correct. But then I make decisions, and it is my job to make a decision all the time, every day. And I take that job very seriously, and I make those decisions.
Gotcha. And are there ever times where you think, man, the jury got it wrong?
Oh, yes.
That happens?
Oh, yes.
I mean, either way.
Well, I wouldn't say the jury got it wrong. I would say there are times that I think if I had been on the jury, I would have decided differently.
Right. I mean, but you either think, hey, they're calling this person guilty, and I don't think there was enough evidence for them to be guilty, or there was a ton of evidence to be guilty. I mean, does that happen?
I haven't had it happen that way. I've had it happen the other way.
Okay.
There was a ton of evidence. The jury could have found the person guilty, and they didn't. But the reason I corrected myself is I'm not going to call into question the jury's verdict.
It's the way our system works.
Right. And each of those people heard that evidence very differently, right? When you have six people listening to evidence, they're all going to have a different perspective, right? So I'm not going to say the verdict was wrong. I might have done it differently if I was on the jury, but...
Well, that's what I wanted to hear from you, because I would imagine, like, you've got to have in your head, like, if they come up and they say something and it surprises you, you can't go, what? Or, oh, right. Snap! You know, like, you've got to be able to go, and then you process that in, and then you continue to do your job.
Right, exactly.
Gotcha. And so you mentioned earlier that, you know, you would geek out if you saw a member of the Supreme Court. I get that. That's a crazy big deal. So I imagine just in general, you see some judges and you think, oh my gosh, they're doing great work. Judges that are doing stuff that you are impressed by. What makes a judge in your mind, you think, oh, that's the one I want to model myself after? And I go think about Judge Perry. I mean, I think most people think Casey Anthony was guilty and she's found innocent. But overwhelmingly, people respect Judge Perry because of how he handled himself,
right?
How he handled a very complicated, intense situation. So are those the kind of aspects you look for, you admire, or walk me through that a little bit?
I think probably the top of my list would be humility. Mm. And I know that sounds funny to say, and I can't say like, oh, I'm so humble. Let me wear my button that says I'm humble, right? Because then you get it taken away because you're not being humble. But I think the judges I admire the most have a humility and understanding that we are just people. I am not perfect. And I'm also not important. I have an important job, but I'm not important. I'm just a person like everyone else. I think it's the judges who lose sight of that, that cause problems for the rest of us. But the judges who have that sort of humble spirit and are constantly learning and listening.
I like that.
That's what I respect the most. And that's how I want to be as a judge.
I was in a small group thing with Senator Rick Scott, and this was when he was governor. And I don't know how those stuff works, but at the end of the year, the governor can free people or keep them in jail in a humble way. I don't know how it works. But what I was amazed by, because I could feel the weight when he was saying, you know, hey, this person needs to be let go, and they serve their time. But then there's actual victims, and he had to weigh that out. That's what stuck in my head when I think about you occupationally. It's a lot weighing in there and important.
It is. And when I first took the bench, someone made a statement that has echoed in my head every day that I've served the citizens of Orange County. And that is, every morning when you put that robe on, you should feel the weight of the robe. Mm. The decisions we make are weighty decisions that affect our community, right? I'm an Orange County judge, so I serve the citizens of Orange County, and this is my community. And so I'm aware every day the weight of my decisions.
Right. And your decisions matter, you know. And
yes.
So, you know, I can think through, like, you know, somebody doesn't get the right sentence and it turns out they were innocent, or they get a light sentence and they get out and they do some terrible crime and somebody's like, hey, why didn't that judge? I mean, there's a lot. I mean, getting that right. And there's not I'm not projecting what the right thing is. It's just that's part of your job.
Right.
So tell me this, like, when you're hanging out and you're just kicking back with your homies or, I don't know, your buddies or whoever you associate with. Do your friends, like if you see a friend for years from high school and they're like, oh, hey, what's up? And what are you up to? And you're like, oh, I'm a judge. Like, how does that go? Like, or when you're just with your friends and they're like, oh, this is my buddy, Bethy or whatever your friends, I don't know what your friends call you. And you're like, oh, she's a judge. Like, do people freak out or they, Do they curtsy? I don't know. What happens when people find out you're a judge?
Occasionally.
Right?
So people who don't know me well respond that way. My friends who've known me a long time don't.
Because it seems natural because you were always talking about it.
And I was a lawyer before.
Right.
And they knew
so it's
I
a natural progression. I got it.
And they were with me when I became a judge. So they're a little less starstruck and keep me humble. My best friend, in fact, will tell me frequently, well, that's not important. You're not important. Nobody cares about judges. So, you know, it keeps you humble. There's no way I can have a big head about that.
Do you find, I guess some people are like me and they really hold judges in high regard. So, and I hold you in high regard in a respectful societal way. Some people might be just intimidated by being around a judge. They might be scared, you know, like being around a cop or FBI agent or something. And then some people may not respect it, right? So do you have all those kinds of interactions?
Absolutely. There's the whole spectrum.
Yeah.
And I think that I try to be judicious mm-hmm. with when I talk about what I do. So if it's in a situation where I think it's maybe not the best idea to say that I'm a judge, I just don't. I don't need to introduce myself as that. I just introduce myself as Elizabeth. But there are some people who respond. And you know what? Children especially. That's one thing I love about being a judge. I get to interact with a lot of school age kids. Mm-hmm. And they all have an appropriate sense of
honor. Awe, yeah,
right,
awe, respect. Yeah,
about
yeah.
the position. And so I get to influence how they see the justice system. And I love that because I think there's a lot of sort of negative press
sure.
about the justice system. And I get to impact them and how they see it. So maybe the next generation coming up remembers that sort of fun judge they met when they were in sixth grade. So I get the whole spectrum of people.
Is that when you're interacting with kids, is that like, are they, it's because they're in the courtroom for some reason, or is that because you're talking to kids in the classroom, or is that both?
We do both. Okay. We have mock trials. Kids will come do mock trials in the courthouse, or they'll just come and ask questions. I've gone out to certain schools and we do sort of outreach programs. So I have the opportunity to do both. And I absolutely love that.
That's very cool. Judge Gibson, if you and I were hanging out and you and me and Mike were hanging out, and then we're in a bigger room and there was like 60 Orange County citizens all sitting there, and then like very diverse group, every kind of, you know, shape, size you can think of people in our community. And they're good people. They're not like wackos or, you know, extreme. They're just generally good folk. And we were just talking to that little group of people. And I said, Judge, tell them, what do you want them to know about, you know, being a judge or the judicial system? What's something you would want them to just know about the world and work you do?
I would say that we have the best system in the world. It is not perfect, but it's still the best system in the world because we're the only system designed to protect individual liberties. And it's important that we have judges who apply the law equally, treat people with fairness and respect and dignity in the court system. And if we can preserve that, I think that together we can all work together to make our system even better. And that's just something I love about being an Orange County judge, because I see more citizens than any other type of judge.
Oh, that's awesome. And our system also allows for multiple bites of the apple, right?
Like, of course.
People can appeal and people can, you know, there are all kinds of things in the system. It's not often something gets decided and then it's like, no, we're never going to another. We're cutting your hand off and you're not getting another hand. Like,
right.
It's not like that. There's a lot of times things can still get worked out if there's more evidence or something comes out. Or it's not perfect, but it's the best system so far on the planet. Right.
Right. And it's just like everything else, right? People are involved, so it's going to be imperfect. But we have checks and balances, and that's the reason for those checks and balances. But that's another wonderful thing about county court. Like I just told you, we see more citizens than any other type of court. And also the level of issues we deal with in criminal, it's misdemeanors, right? So nothing punishable by more than a year. So any crime punishable by prison isn't in county court. And then on the civil side, we're dealing with anything, well, currently under $30,000. So landlord-tenant issues or neighbor disputes or creditor issues. So it's a lot of issues where we can have second chances and we can work together for sort of rehabilitation and working kind of as problem solvers instead of as adversaries. There's a lot of that in county court, which I also love.
My last question is really important. I really want to ask you, who's your favorite judge? Is it Judge Judy, Judge Wapner, Judge Hurst? I don't know. Do you have a favorite judge that you look at? And I'm just being silly, but is there like a judge as a caricature. You're like, oh my gosh, that's funny.
Well, you know what? I don't watch any of these, but I really need to because everyone asks me that. And what I've been told is it should be Judge Judy. So should I'll just
judge
go with that.
Judy, yeah, Judge Judy. That's awesome. Well, yeah, it's funny that I'll say this. You know, I'm not in the courthouse that much, but, you know, occasionally for some different reason. And I'm always surprised because I always see a beautiful woman in a wedding dress. And I always think to myself, golly, it would never occur to me that, but it happens all the time.
And so
there's a lot of really important decisions. And so that's the last thing. I'm just being a little bit silly. But there's a really a reverence and importance for the important work we got going on there. So thank you, Judge Gibson, for your community service and what you're doing. Thank you for coming on the show. And we're really a fan of all you got going on. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. This was wonderful.
That's awesome. Well, thank you. This has been the Crossman Conversation. And as always, support your local HBCU.
This has been Crossman Conversation, produced by a Crossman Career Builders Mark Radio Production.